Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Mem Aleph. We are holding on the third line. So the last thing that we learned was that we have a question as between Rabbi Lotzi and Rabbi Yochanan and a machloket about how exactly do we go about, or can we go about, being mechalel, taking off the kedusha from a secondary item, perhaps, or transferring the Kedusha from a primary item, which we never lose the Kedusha of in Kedusha Shviyas, because the original item remains Kadosh B'Kedusha Shviyas no matter what. So we had a machlokas whether this can be done derech chilul or only derech merkach. So this was our machlokas, and Rav Ashi today on the third line wants to clarify that machloket is not a machloket across the board. Omer Rav Ashi, machloket b'pri rishon, avo b'pri sheni divrei hakol, bein derech mekach, bein derech chilul. Look, the whole machloket over here is on the original Paris of Shviyas. The original Paris of Shviyas, I mean, think about it, says Rav Ashi. Essentially, there is no real chilul, right? Because chilul means to be able to take the Kedusha off of something and put it onto something else. But that's impossible when it comes to the original Peiros of Shviyas, because you cannot remove the Kedusha of Shviyas that we learned from Bahayithav, the Lashon Havaya. It never loses that Kedusha. So then what does that imply to you, says Rav Ashi? Doesn't that show you that the only thing to go ahead and to say, Harei zeh mitchalel al zeh, that's a joke. I mean, how would you be mechalel? You can't be mechalel. So therefore, it makes sense to say, if you bought it, so then the act of buying makes the Kedusha on the money as well. That I understand. But this is not a pidyon. It's not a chilul. And that's why we have this question about the whether you can ever use the idea of chilul. So, okay, when it comes to the secondary or the tertiary over there, what's wrong? When it comes to the pre-sheni, so then why not? So the machlokas is that since by the pre-sheni, it's possible to be mechalel because it's similar to kedesh, and maybe you could even use that lashon pre-rishon. That's what Rav Ashi says. When it comes to the pre-sheni, divrei hakol bein derech mekach and bein derech chilul, it would still be an effective way of transferring the kedusha shviyas. Now, I mean, that is a little bit weird because yesterday our whole raya to Rebbe Eliezer was, Rebbe Eliezer, I mean, was what? That the Braita kept saying, lakach, lakach, lakach. So he used the meat to buy the fish, and then he used the fish to buy the wine, then he used the wine to buy the oil. I mean, that's all pre-sheni. None of that stuff was the original Kedusha Shviyas. So why did the Braita keep saying, lakach, lakach, lakach? That's because since it needed to teach us that on the beginning case, which was where he was lakach with the actual, the meat to buy the actual perishvias, either the Tana Resh lakach, it had to say lakach. So in order to bring out the pressure to say lakach at the beginning, it kept saying lakach to stress to you that that beginning is in fact an absolute, and I couldn't have done it any other way. So Taninami Seifa Lakach, that was the riot to Rebbe Lazar. But it wasn't that you really need to be Lakach at every step of the way down. Hey, Tveravina Rav Ashi, that is not possible, my dear friend. Because it says in the Braita, Mishi Ishlo Sela Shoshvi. Let's imagine a guy has got money in his property and it's worth enough to buy a shirt with, and he had this by selling something that had Kedusha Shviyas. Now, he cannot use that for he cannot use that for buying a shirt, right? Because it says la'ochla. So he wants to buy a shirt. What does he do? Now, listen. If he wants to buy a shirt, it's very simple what to do, no? I mean, because the money obviously didn't grow on trees. Well, I mean, depends who you ask. But for any of us, the money doesn't grow on trees. So then that means it doesn't have Kedusha Shviyas because it's a primary, it's a secondary, right? So, I mean, if you're telling me that there's nobody who holds that you can't take a secondary and be mechallel it on something else, what's your problem? Take some fruit, okay? Not fruit from Kedusha Shviyos. Take some fruit and then go ahead and be mechallel the money that you have onto that food and eat that food be Kedusha Shviyos. Now you have money that doesn't have Kedusha Shviyos. Go walk into a store and buy a shirt with it. What's the problem? No, says the Braita, this is a serious issue. How are you ever going to be able to buy a shirt with money that has Kedusha Shviyos? The only thing you can do is you got to find a store where the guy's a friend of yours and he's willing to play games, you know. So you go to the Schenvania Ragil Etzla. So you go to your friendly local shopkeeper and you tell him, listen, I want to buy a sellout worth of payroll. You give him that money for the payroll. Okay. Then you have payrot, which are not, at this point, they took over the kedusha of that money. Then you tell him, hey, you know what? I'm giving you these payrot as a gift, okay? And then the storekeeper tells him, I'm giving you this money as a gift. So basically, then you got back the money, which no longer has kedusha shviyas, because you went ahead and you did a transaction with it, which means derech mekach. And this is the only solution we can find to having your money available for buying a shirt. That's ridiculous. Because it's obviously saying the only reason that we need to go through all of this rigmarole is because you could not simply have said, this money is hereby mechulal of this sandwich, and then eat the sandwich for Kedusha Shviyos. You couldn't do that. Why not? Didn't you just say that everybody agrees that you can do it? So obviously they don't agree that you can't do it. And it was only Rabbi Yochanan who held that you could do it, and this was going according to Rabbi Lazar. Now, over here, it's obviously a secondary kedusha, and nonetheless, it says the only way to manage this, derech mekach. There's no way to do it derech chilul. So this clearly shows that Rav Ashi is wrong. He's completely and totally against the braita. You're right. Okay, so let's actually see it the other direction. It certainly does make sense that there is a difference between previous and appreciated. But the difference is much more powerful than Rav Ashi originally made it. The difference is such that it's so clear, this is how Sfasemis explains it, that it's so clear that the concept of chilo is absurd when it comes to the pre-Risha, because you cannot be mechalo. There's no way to take off the kedusha. So there, for sure, everybody is made it. That you cannot use the Lashon of Chilul, because you aren't being Mechalel, for God's sake. So the only thing that the Torah said was that anything that you're Mehaveh from it by doing it, Derech Mekach, so then that indeed would be included in the Kedusha. But you certainly can't say that you're Mechalel it. So therefore, what Rav Ashi said was, you know what? It's the other way around. I said it wrong. Machlokes is only B'Prisheni, where at least it makes some level of sense to say, I'm being mechalel, because you really are. You're transferring the kedusha from the Moz or from whatever secondary thing it's on. But the pre-Rishon, the original thing that grew during Shemitah, there is no way to be mechalel. So everybody is voted that you can only get kedusha shviyas on something else where the shviyas is toface the kedusha through a derech mekach. But there's no way to even use the word chilul because it makes no sense. Okay. Now, what about the fact that before it was mashma that any shviyas is included? I mean, we brought the brides to before. It says, echad shviyit v'echad ma'aser. We said both of them, shviyas or ma'aser sheni, can be either, you can either be mechalale, or you can go ahead and it's tofes as doma. So what does it mean over there? It doesn't mean shviyas. It doesn't mean directly shviyas. It's got to mean dmei shviyas. I'll prove it to you, says Rav Ashi, that it's got to mean Dmei Shviyas. Because what do you think that it means, Benogei Maaser? When it says Maaser, so do you think it's referring to actual Maaser Sheni? How could it be referring to actual Maaser Sheni if it says that you cannot, over there it says you can be Mechalal on Perot and on anything, but Maaser Sheni, you cannot be Mechalal on Perot. Maaser Sheni, you can only be Mechalal on Vitzarta Kesebiyadecha, from where we learn out, that it has to be kesef shel tzura. It has to be a minted coin with a mint impact on the coin. So if that's the case, obviously when it was referring to Maaser Sheni, it was referring to a pre-Sheni, was referring to the main Maisa. So that Brisa, which seemed to indicate that you could be Bechalal, Perei Shvias, directly onto something else, was not referring to Perei Shvias any more than the Maisa was referring to Peres Maisa, was referring to the main Maisa. And here too, it's referring to the main Shvias that had been used for purchasing. Now, this is what we got to pay in order to get a view of our Capitan. He won't show himself unless he's giving us a foghorn.
Menuah.
Barishona. So now, let us get to how we developed all of the various minhagim and new dinim that we have, binogea netilat lulav. So we know that originally, lakachtem lechem biyom harishon, there was only a mitzvah to utilize the lulav for the first day. Now, for some reason, we do a mitzvah of lulav every single day. What's more, it was originally another mitzvah to be mekayim the mitzvah of lulav for all 7 days. L'fnei Hashem Elokeichem, it says Svachtem. So there was a mitzvah all 7 days. So the mitzvah was that b'migdash, which is a machlokas, what b'migdash means, according to Rashi, means literally b'migdash as opposed to b'medina, which includes even Yerushalayim. According to Rambam, the migdash includes all the kedushas of the Shekhinah, which includes Yerushalayim as well. And the Medina means outside of Yerushalayim. And there are those people who, because of that, well, there's a chiyuv even bizman hazeh, and okay, all of those things that are no differences, let's say, blowing the shofar on Shabbos and so on. So it used to be that the Mikdash, there was a mitzvah of Shiva, but all over besides Mikdash, it was only for one day, as it says, ulakachtem lachem, biyom harishon, and that's all that you have. Then, after the Churban took place, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was mitakein she'e lulav nital b'medina shiva. Zechal HaMikdash. That it's a mitzvah to take the lulav all over. Because we need to make a zecher for the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we do it as this. Otherwise we would lose this mitzvah completely. We wouldn't even remember such a thing. And we also know that during that time, when there was a mitzvah d'oraisa that was specific on that first day and was for all 7 days, that over there we're going to see that it used to be that it was taken even on Shabbos. So after, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that it was for 7 days, we're going to see later on that doesn't mean literally 7 days. It means for all 7 days of the Chag, unless they come out on Shabbos, we're over there, we don't take it. But originally, it was taken even on Shabbos as well. And there was another thing that he was mitakein, which is not directly related to this, but was set together. V'shyeh yom hanef kulo asur. That the day of the tenufa, of the Omer ha-tenufa, which is called the Omer ha-tenufa, which is matir chadash, that it should be asur to eat any new grain until the end of the day. Okay, so apparently l'chatchila, before he made this takana, there was no problem of waiting the whole day. As soon as the morning came along, you were already able to eat your new grain. Now, why is that? It's because we have two completely different psukim, and the Gemara asks this as a stira. That on the one hand, it says in the Torah that you have to bring the Omer Ad HaViachemet Omer HaTenufa, right? But the other pasuk says, Ad Etzem HaYom HaZeh. Well, which one is it? Is it the Omer HaTenufa or is it the Etzem HaYom HaZeh? So from there we learn out that it depends. If there is an Omer that is going to be brought, so then it's Ad HaViachemet Omer HaTenufa. Whenever that is, 9 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, whenever you bring it. If there's no Omer HaTenufa, then it's Ad Etzem HaYom HaZeh, which B'Pashtus means early in the morning. So as soon as daybreak occurs, you would be allowed, if not for the Takon of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that's what it seems to be saying, if not for the Takon of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you would be able to eat your cereal in the morning. That was cereal that was made from Chadash. And now came along Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, And he said, you have to wait till the end of the day. Okay, so first thing we want to know is, why is it a davar pashut? Is this just like a sentimental thing that he wanted to make a zecher l'migdash? Or is this an etzem chiev in how it is we're supposed to relate to the mitzvahs and to the migdash? So minolon davdinan zecher l'migdash. How do you know that there's such an inyan as making this zecher l'migdash idea? Ah, that's because Yirmiyo wrote, ki a'alea ruchalach, umimakothayich erpa echnu umashem, ki nidacha karulach, tzioni doresh einla. Nobody seems to care about Tzion. So from there you see, if this is what the Yirmiyo is being mikonein, that michlal deboy drisha, you are supposed to be constantly thinking about how it is that you could be zeicha to do this mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash, and so on and so forth. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the Churban, was mitakein that we should do the mitzvah so that we would remember the Mikdash. Shlomo Zalman actually holds that it's a chiyuv, that when you take the lulav on any of the other days besides the first day, that you should say to yourself, a teacher, your family, that we're being naitel this lulav the way we used to be naitel in the Beis HaMikdash. And we should remember that that was the mitzvah, and we'll be zeicha to do it again. Now, if that's the case, how does that relate to the Yom HaNef? My time. I mean, it's certainly not because of the Zikaron of the Beis HaMikdash, we wait till the end of the day, because we did not used to wait till the end of the day when the Beis HaMikdash. So what's this for telling us that nowadays, that there's no Beis HaMikdash, you have to wait all day of the 16th of Nisan, and only after sunset are you allowed to eat your cereal? Oh, my time. Well, that's because the Beit HaMikdash will be built. And then people will say on the 16th, hey, last year, did we not eat our cereal right away in the morning? So today's the 16th, we should be allowed to eat our cereal, Ashtanaminecho, but they're making a big mistake. Because Inu lo yadei de'eshtakad lo havi beit HaMikdash eir mizrachitir. They're not recognizing the fact that last year when there was no Beit HaMikdash, so then the pasuk that said ad etzem ayom hazeh, that was the definitive time. But now that we do have a Beit HaMikdash, Hashtadik, a Beit HaMikdash, now it's ad aviyachem et omer hatenufa. And now you have to wait for the omer. That's why he was mitakein. Never rely on mourning, because you never know that you may accidentally rely on mourning the year that the Beis HaMikdash is built, and then you will be over on the Isur of Chodesh. Wait a minute, I don't understand. You're telling me that this mistake would come into play at a time that the Beit HaMikdash was built. Explain to me when the Beit HaMikdash was built that you're worried about this, okay? When was the Beis HaMikdash built? Was the Beis HaMikdash built today on the 16th? And that's the point? I mean, if it was built today, then that means that at daybreak it wasn't built yet. And if at daybreak it wasn't built, so then which din of Chodesh kicks in? Etzem Hayom Hazeh, because there is no Omer HaTenufa yet, there's no Beis HaMikdash. So then it was already mutter to eat your cereal. So what's he worried about? So you ate your cereal, which is the right thing to do anyway. So Ilei Medivne B'Sheitzar, Harei Hitir Heir Mizrach, anyway. Ela, it must be that it was built before, right? So it was built on the 15th or a month before, I don't know. But then if it was built before, then it would mean that the Beis HaMikdash is in its standard working mode, right? At that point. It's already been around a couple of days. Okay, so what's the standard working mode of a Beis HaMikdash when you need to bring the Korban HaOmer? At what time is the Korban HaOmer brought? Definitely by Chatzot, no matter where you were. Even if you were in Walnut Creek and you wanted to know whether you're allowed to have your cereal, all you need to do is figure out what time is Chatzot in Yerushalayim in Walnut Creek. And that's all you needed to do. Because you were sure that by that time, in the Beis HaMikdash, Beis Din weren't Apsalonim, they were going to bring it on time. So for sure you could rely on Chatzot, right? Okay, so then why did he need to make a takana till the end of the day? Why the end of the day? Just say until Chatzot, the way it would have been if the Beit HaMikdash was functioning. So therefore, that can't be, I mean, because it says in the Mishnah, Harachokim, as far away as you can get from the Beis HaMikdash, who are coming back very soon, Walnut Creek, you could still, nonetheless, you would know that as soon as it's Chatzot, it would for sure be okay. Mutarim miChatzot hayom lahalan, lefisha'in beidin mitatzlim bo. They know that for sure it was brought already. So I don't understand, why would Rabbi Yochanan have made a takana to wait until the end of the day? I'll tell you what. We're worried that the Beit HaMikdash was built overnight, okay? Or maybe they even started building it on the 15th close to Shkiat HaChama. And therefore, all night long, nobody was busy taking care of the Omer, which requires a tremendous amount of work in advance. And you cannot be busy at that time setting up the Beis HaMikdash and so on, because it takes a very long time. You need to, first of all, you need to dry it out in that special popcorn machine, which took a while. And then you needed to put it through 13 different sieves, gradually getting thinner and thinner in order for it to be able to be used to make the omer. And that point, you needed also, you had to wait until it dried a little bit. It had to be, it had moisture even after you, even afterwards, you needed it to dry. Anyway, there'd be no way for it to be ready for the Omer, for Chatzot. Maybe that was the problem. You'll say, how in the world are you allowed to build the Beit HaMikdash at night? The Beit HaMikdash, it says, is only beyond. Or how are you allowed to build it Samach L'Shkia? Is the Beit HaMikdash Deiche Yantev? Binyan Beit HaMikdash L'Charazan Bauche Yantev? So Rashi and Tosfos learn that what we're worried about is that maybe the Beis HaMikdash will come down from the Shemayim all built and ready to go. And that could happen even in the at the end of the day on Yontev. And then it would take a while to get everything set up. I mean, Barnea isn't that organized, you know, in which he's got all the Mishmarot already in place. And I mean, it's like a very, very busy time. And somebody messed up. They didn't prepare the Omer starting from the very beginning of the night. So that year, it might really be a hassle. And they won't bring the Omer until the end of the day. There won't be time to actually have a completely ready Omer.
Because, never again.
Because of that, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was worried for the next 1,000 years that, you know, just in case that's what happens. So every single year in Walnut Creek, you got to wait the whole day, right? Because next year, the Beis HaMikdash may come down whole. And then that would come down even on Yantif. Amazing. So because of that, we have this takana that the Yom HaNefes Kulei Osu. Now, Lamaisa, I mean, those we've shown him, particularly, I mean, the Rambam, the Bashlis learns, says Beferish, that the mitzvah binyan HaMikdash is a mitzvah l'deiros, and he gives over all of the dinim of how to build the Beis HaMikdash, and so on and so forth. Could be that even according to him, there's a chashash. Maybe it would come down. Some of the Achronim, Taina, that there's no iser of binyan of the Beis HaMikdash on Yantav, the Brigaraya from Gibbon. It's a lot of interesting discussion about this problem. But in any event, we made a takana for thousands of years because of this chance that the Beis HaMikdash, which of course is part of the takana, right? In other words, there's an element of, I mean, this is how I understand it. I know, but everybody else gives different. Why in the world they put the takon of Yom HaNef together with the din of Zecher L'Mikdash? They're not shayach. But the pashtus is that they're very shayach, because otherwise this is absurd. The Rabbanan never make a takona on something that is not a standard problem, right? So you say, Milsid Olor Shchicha. It's a classic, Milsid Olor Shchicha. What are the chances the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down, wholly built, on the night of the 16th of... I was like, wild. So it must be that the point of the Yom HaNef, that the whole idea is that the sense of the imminence of the Beis HaMikdash is so powerful that it's not called a Dovid Olor Shchicha. It's like, what is he supposed to be thinking about all the time? So Mamela, next year we're going to have a problem. We got to worry about this problem now. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is making that gufa as sort of like the ultimate Seichel HaMikdash kind of thing. But we still need to, okay, so how does it relate to the Mikdash? This is how it relates to the Mikdash. That's how I think the issues go together. Even though Tosis points out, there's so many takonas of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So why does it say over here that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Zakkai in two takonas? I mean, what in the world was dafka about these? Okay, So anyway, that lechora would be the problem. Reb Nachum bar Yitzchak Omar, but actually Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, you have a complete misunderstanding. Okay, Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai did not make a takana that it should be usher till the end of the day. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai forced everyone to recognize that miyoraisa it's usher till the end of the day. That's the point. And therefore, it had nothing to do with analyzing what time it is in the Beis Hamikdash and so on and so forth. It had to do with your local time. Ad etzem ayom hazeh. Now, it's not totally in the Omer. And we know there is such a shita because Rabbi Yochanan's great-grand Talmud, Rabbi Yehuda, he was the one who said that it's Asher Midiraisa, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was going according to, doesn't mean obviously never was going according to Rabbi Yehuda, but he held the same shita that Rabbi Yehuda would hold in later generations. B'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amar. And Rabbi Yehuda said, it's a diaraisa, minat Torah hu diaraisa. Because when the Torah gave you this other option of ad etzem ayom hazeh, it meant ad v'ad bichlal. You need to finish the entire day, ad itzumah shayom. And he holds the word of ad is ad v'ad bichlal. But what do you mean Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold the Rabbi Yehuda, but mifut poligaleh. We know that Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It says, "Mi shekarav beit hamikdash hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shiye yom hanef kuloy aser." So this it says in the Mishnah. So I should say the Tznan. Omar lo Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda argues. It doesn't mean literally to him, but Rabbi Yehuda argues on Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and Rabbi Yehuda said, "What do you mean?" It's Asher min haTorah, v'lo min haTorah, who they also dechtiv ad etzem hayom hazeh b'tzumah shayom. So apparently they don't agree. So what's Reb Nachman trying to tell me? That Reb Yochanan was not mitakein, and that he's only telling me what the diraisa was? Now, Reb Yehuda misunderstood Reb Yochanan. It was Reb Yehuda de Kartoy, and he thought Reb Yochanan was saying mitarabbanan, but not true. Reb Yochanan was saying that bisman hazeh, that's the diraisa. That's the diraisa. It says hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Doesn't hitkin mean a drabonan takona? How could it be a diraita? Not necessarily. Hitkin means to fix. That's all that it means. So hitkin over here means that he was darash vihitkin. He tried to explain to people, don't make the mistake of thinking that now in the years post-Churban that you have a right to rely on what you did last year. Last year we had the Omer, and therefore was only Osir until Bakrovas Omer, which you knew by Chatzos, it was okay. But now you have to wait until Etzem Ayom Hazeh Ad V'Ad Bichlal. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan was good, according to Reb Nachman, was talking about an actual Diraisa. He just explained to people how to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of the Diraisa. And now we're ready once again for that very special, amazing moment. Of course, Barnea doesn't allow, but Barnea wants to see more of you, Rich. So he wants to get a good view. And he's waving, his finger. Yes, Rabbi Barnea.
Something to say?
Yeah, Rebbe said a pshat in Dukdukte Sofrim that it's a sensitivity of when to make takanos. Rebbe went a little bit past Rashi, right? So it's a sensitivity not just of Isurim, but Bechlal, a sensitivity. And you see the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's particular sensitivity with all these takanos. He made more takanos than anybody else in this transition time. It just fits in very well.
Smart guy, that guy. I'd love to meet him one day. Very nice. Very nice, Pshat. Jeffrey sent in that in a... Wait a minute. Jeffrey sent in that we had also a beautiful discussion on the difference between Shemei Akaina and Hirur Kedibur the last time we did it, and that it's very kedai to listen to it. Like I say, I got to listen to that guy. Yeah, yeah. There were the days, you know. There used to be a brain in there somewhere. Anyway, Richie. Oh. So now, what used to be that before we had the change used to be that we would, if we were going with the Diraisa, so Yom Tov Harishon Shel Chag Shechal Yot B'Shabbat. So originally, even though later on, when after the Churban there was a takana not to take the lulav on Shabbos, but this Mishnah still comes from the time discussing where we had the mitzvah in the Mikdash for Shiva, and at that time, the mitzvah in the Gvulin, Yom Echad, what did we do? So Yom Tov HaRishon Shachar Shechaliot B'Shabbat. Everybody would bring their lulav to the Beit HaKnesset on Erev Shabbos. And then, L'mocharat, everybody would get up early in the morning before anybody else grabs their lulav. So all of these lulavs obviously had a little chip that was connected to it that would beep in your brain when you got to your own lulav, because, you know, there were a million lulavim there, and you were able to select your lulav automatically. That's pretty good. So that was kol echad v'echad makir et shalom. Everyone would instantly see his own lulav. Could you ever confuse your lulav for anybody else's, for heaven's sake? Never. Has a shepherd ever confused one sheep with another and one goat with another? Now the question is, do fishermen confuse one fish with another? Richie, what do you say about that? That's already a shaila, huh? Okay, but we're talking about lulavim.
One fish looks like another, Rabbi. I mean, it's not, you know, like fools, you know, they're all the kids.
I don't know. Would the fisherman's son out on the island, would he say that, or would he be devastated to hear that? So now the question is, everybody has to recognize their own lulav, because if not, they're not going to be yotze, as we'll see. And on the other days, shari motachag, adam yotze bo yidei chavato, lulav shel chavero. But if it wasn't the first day, then you can be yotze with somebody else's lulav. And we'll see for what the reason is for this. Rabbi Yossi omer, yom tov harishon shachag shechal liyot b'shabbat. You know what? If the guy forgot and he took his lulav out on Shabbos and he carried it on Shabbos, he would not be chayav a korban chatas. He was shachag v'otzi et lulavar l'reshut harabim. He would be putter. Why? Because he's a Torah b'dvar mitzvah. And since he was otzi b'reshus, he was involved in that mitzvah, and he was rushing, and he wanted to be mekayim the mitzvah with his whole heart. So that is considered to be the idea of doing something that he was supposed to be doing. We don't mean literally berishus. It means this is what he was meant to be involved in. He was meant to be involved in. Then it was, at that time, it was berishus in the sense that you were supposed to take it on Shabbos. You just weren't supposed to carry it on Shabbos. So minonimilek. First, let's talk about how do we know that you cannot be yotze with somebody else's lulav. Where do you get that idea that we need to be so makir that everybody had to be makir their own lulav? The Tanur Rabbanan. Ulkachtem lachem biyom rishon. That means shitei lekicha biyad kol echad v'echad. This teaches us that the idea is dasei v'lakachta. Ulkachtem. That means each one of you has to make certain. If it would have said v'lakachta, so then it would have meant Klal Yisrael was mechuyev in the mitzvah. Anybody can be yotze. But ulakachtem means each one of you have got to have a lulav that you're going to be able to relate to. And then it says that that is lachem, means dafka shelachem. It's got to be your own lulav. And that is lotzi et ha-sha'ul ve'et ha-gazu. So if you have a borrowed lulav, no good. And if you have a stolen lulav, no good. Bikan amru chachamim, ein adam yotze yidei chavato b'yom tov harishon shachag b'lulav shachavero. You cannot be yotze utilizing someone else's lulav. The only way you could do it is for this person to give it to you as a matana. Elim ken not nolo b'matana. If the guy gives you his lulav and says, take my lulav, it's a gift, then it's yours. And it was actually a maisa where Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva were all together traveling on a boat on the first day of Sukkot. And they only had one lulav. And that, don't ask what he paid for that lulav. 10,000 bucks he paid for that lulav. So it cost him elav zuz. Nitala Rabbi Gamaliel v'yatzabo. The first Rabbi Gamaliel took the lulav and was yotze with it. He gives it to Rabbi Yeshua as a matana. Rabbi Yoshua takes it and is yotze with it. Rabbi Yoshua gives it to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ben Matana. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah takes it and is yotze with it. He gives it as a Matana to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva takes it and is yotze with it. Then Rabbi Akiva gives it back to Rabbi Gamaliel for some reason that we're going to talk about. Why did it say that Rabbi Akiva gave it back to him? Ah, because Milta Agavur Chikamashlon, it's teaching us a big chiddush that obviously Rabbi Gamliel had originally given the lulav to the others to use as a matana, but only as a matana conditional upon their returning it to him. So he wanted to get it back. And you'll notice, by the way, that the word matana includes the word matne, which is to make a t'nai. In which case, a matana al manat ha'achzir is related to the very concept of a matana. And therefore, if you wouldn't have given it back to him, nobody would have been yotze. So this teaches us that matana al manat ha'achzir, shma matana, that it is 100% legally considered to be yours, and the condition that it needs to be returned to me is not an ipso facto violation of the concept of matana, because matana itself includes the tnai of matnelav. Amazing. So then this defines ownership, the legal ownership, and that the Mishnah wanted to teach us. So this is as Rava said, here, take this eser and keep it as your own on condition that you give it back to me. If the person takes it, he's yotze. If he gives it back at the end, then he was yotze the mitzvah, because then it turns out that retroactively he kept the condition. It meant that the matana was a good condition. But if lo yichziro, if he didn't give it back, then he wasn't yotze the mitzvah either. Very good. Now there's a whole question, but what about all of the dinim of the Tanai, B'nai God, B'nai Ruvain, the Abzadein, Kodim Lalav, and so on and so forth? That Tosis brings up over here these questions. Says yes, but the Gemara here is not interested. The Psak La'alok, according to many, is that we take for granted that the nature of the Amanat Lachzir, in the same way that we have a concept that if people buy a lulav, which is often done, people buy a lulav b'shutafut. Now, shutafut does not help you for lachem, because it's still considered to be borrowing your shutaf's portion if you use it. So the shutaf will have to give you b'matana. But, like many poskim hold, that innate in the buying of a lulav b'shutafut is the understanding that we all want the other to be able to use it as a matana manat lachzir. And that even over there where I didn't say anything, that is included in Tanai B'nai God of Nei Ruvain, because it means that we all want it to be understood along those lines. So many are matirid. However, there are those who would say it's much worse to make a Tanai than to buy it stam b'shutafut. And that over there you would have to do all of the dinim of the Tanai. So it's complex. Why do I need for the Tana to say the Rav Gamliel spent an elef zuz on it? That's hodiach hakama mitzvot chavivot alayev. You have to understand how much a mitzvah meant to these people. There they are in a boat, and he doesn't have access to all of his money, and this is what he used his money for. Omalei marbar amei malar vashi. You should know my father used to daven holding a lulav. He couldn't put the lulav down. What? I thought you're not allowed to hold a lulav when you daven. Doesn't it say, Lo yochaz adam tefillin biyado v'sefer Torah b'cheko? A person should not be holding his tefillin in his hands or a sefer Torah against his chest while he davens, because he's going to be nervous about dropping them and he won't be able to concentrate on his tefillin. And if he's holding tefillin, even if he's not wearing them or he's holding the sefer Torah, he shouldn't urinate either. V'lo yishan v'hem lo shinat kva v'lo shinat aray, shouldn't fall asleep even for a moment because he may drop them. Which, that's, as I say, the sounds of the Gemara's dropping in the Daf Yomi was always your hint. Somebody just fell asleep, right? Crash. It's always that embarrassing moment. Anyway, and Shmuel says that this is not only a sefer Torah and tefillin because of the special inyan of the Kedusha of the Sefer and the Tefillin, that it'll be mitbazeh. This is true about anything that you're worried about. So the same thing is true if you're holding a knife. Well, you don't want to drop the knife on your toesies while you're davening. So that is going to keep your mind on the knife and not on your davening. And the same thing could be if you're holding a plate of food. You don't want to drop that plate of food either. Or if you're holding, let's say, a key card, because you don't want it to fall and get dirty. Or if money, your money will scatter. Same thing, anything that keeps your mind off of the tefillah is a problem to hold. So how could a memor hold a lulav? Yeah, but all those cases in the Braita and the cases that Shmuel added were not mitzvahs. And therefore, a person, his mind is involved in something antithetical to the tefillah. But over here, it's a mitzvah. A mitzvah is not matrid you. A mitzvah is an enhancement to the tefillah that you're doing. So adarabba, it gives you more kavana that you include the daiga on the mitzvah with the tefillah. So why? What do you think? It's, why would it be a problem? That's why my father did it. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, Tzadikai, Mekacha, Yaminogin, Shalan, Shei, Yerushalayim. The people in Yerushalayim used to wake up in the morning, you leave your hand, you leave your home, you're carrying your lulav. You go into shul with your lulav. You say Kriyat Shema, you daven, you're holding your lulav. You're called up to the Torah, or you're a Kohen who needs to be Nisayas Kapov. Over there, you need both of your hands. From here, they bring a smach, but there's a mitzvah to hold on to both sides of the Sefer Torah when you make the bracha. Of course, there we're talking about a Sefer Torah that was made like the Sefer Torah of the Sfardim. Over there, obviously, you need both of your hands. Okay, but the Ashkenazim don't realize that, so they need the raya over here that you have to hold on both sides of the Atzei Chaim when you make the bracha. But in any event, so you need to put down your lulav. And then you pick it up again. So minicha agabi karka. Now you come, you leave shul, you're going to go to be mavakar chaylin, because you want to do chesed, you're going to be menachem aveilin. You carry your lulav. Now it's finally time to go learn nichlas l'beis ha-medrash. So then you're really nervous. Because, I mean, once you're arguing with your chavrusa and you're holding your lulav, the next thing you know is you're whacking your chavrusa with the lulav, and now there's no more lulav left. So you better get rid of your lulav before you get to that stage. So then send your lulav back home, biyad bino, biyad avdo, biyad shlucho, and then you can have a free hand during the Beis HaMedrash. I know, Barnea, did I ever tell you what my siddurim with Meir Tzvi Shuster when we were both kids in the yeshiva? We used to sit there in the Beis HaMedrash, and when he would say something that I was really angry about, I would start running around the table trying to catch him, to choke him. And he would be screaming at the top of his lungs, "Matus, you maniac!" It was absolutely adorable. But anyway, but of course the pashtus is not because you'll use your lulav to whack your chavrusa. It's because you're going to be so involved in your sugya, you'll maybe drop your lulav. Anyway, so my kamashvan said, what do I need to know all of this? Just to teach me. Kama, I use rezimba mitzvot. Look how they cared so much about the mitzvah.